When he calls me, it will be paradise, his face forever to behold. That's the greatest blessing, isn't it? To see the face of our Savior when we go to be with him forever. That is the blessing. And we can know his presence now. We can know his presence on this side of the grave by the Holy Spirit and his presence with us. Turn again, please, to Psalm 128, as Josh has already read out tonight. I want to consider tonight this psalm, which really has been a life psalm of mine. We have already been blessed to read out a number of psalms and indeed sing of the Lord and of his blessings. And tonight I want to just consider the many blessings that God has for his children. And this may be called a psalm for the family, but I believe it goes further than that. It's a psalm for individuals. It's a psalm for the church. Let's ask God's help as we begin. Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless this evening. We thank you for your presence among us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have indwelt us, that you have said you will never leave nor forsake us. We thank you for the privilege of walking with you day by day, knowing your presence, knowing you in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the manifold blessing of meeting with your people. That blessing is multiplied as we are able to come together as rain and as dew falls upon the earth. So you shower us with abundant blessings, Lord, as we come together in this way. So, Lord, speak through this word. I pray, make this real to each heart. Make this real in my life. We thank you that the word of God is very practical and is very living. It is alive. You do not want, Lord, your word to fall to the ground. Indeed, Lord, if your word falls and ever falls on good soil, it produces harvest. So I pray for fruit, Lord, from this ministry this evening. Bless us as we turn to this scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. As Josh read out earlier, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, Psalm 128, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, or the King James renders it, by the sides of thine house. Your children like olive plants around about your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, that you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The Lord God, he is an encourager. We sometimes turn to one another in the body of Christ and we say, someone has a gift of encouragement, or someone is a real encourager. Well, God is the encourager of his people. God is the one. And I thank the Lord that he calls us to lift up the hands that hang down. And he does not want us to be discouraged. That's why he's given us his word plainly and lovingly to us. He is the Father of lights. He doesn't provoke us. That verse in Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And I want to touch a little bit on that as we look at the psalm. Well, certainly our Father, the great God of all, does not want to discourage, to provoke, and he does not provoke his children. And that is why the Bible is filled with encouragement. And I know that we draw much from the Psalms. I think of the Psalms we read out tonight, and indeed, I know many devotions are on the Psalms, many songs focus on the Psalms, and indeed, I'm sure all of us, in our times where we've been low, when we have had trial or affliction, we have turned. Perhaps the first book of the Bible that you would have opened is the book of Psalms, to find great encouragement from these words, from the Word of God. The Bible is filled with blessing for those who will fear the Lord, for those who will walk in His ways. You know, without vision, the people perish. Without vision, without having something that our eyes, our minds can be filled with, we go in different ways, in different directions. But we have a vision and we can have a focus, and it's on the Word of God. And we can trust every word herein. Trust every word that is written herein. And take the promises that are written herein. And not be discouraged. The blueprint is within the Scripture. And we want blessing. There isn't a person on the earth that wants curse. That wants evil to come to them. We want blessing, but more than that, as believers, we desire the God of all blessing. Friends, everyone wants to be blessed, and indeed, all the religions of the world want to be blessed. And if you've ever spoken or witnessed to a Hindu, he wants the blessing of your God as well as the blessing of his own gods. But as believers, yes, we have the fruit of blessing, but we seek the object, and the object of our affection is God, is our Lord Jesus Christ. You look at the book of Job, and Job said, even in his affliction, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I keep my eyes fixed on the source of all blessing. I've had blessing and greatness all this time, and now I'm in affliction. And yet Job said, I take not my eyes from the God of all blessing, even though I'm in such trial. So we seek and we desire after the Lord God, the God of blessing. Well, there are two requirements, and then there's a list of blessings in this psalm. And the two requirements of us are that we fear the Lord and walk in His ways. So let's consider those two and how they go together. You can't separate those two. You cannot be devoid of one or the other. They go together. We must fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Now note here in this verse, it says, blessed is everyone. God is not a respecter of persons, the Bible says. Everyone, anyone who will turn to Him, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what is the fear of God? To fear God is to have a right view of Him and be rightly related to Him. When you consider the topic of the fear of God, it's very broad and very wide and it's very, very deep. And I just want to touch on it again tonight. So I know I've spoken on it a number of times here. But like a taut string in a bow, it's the fear of the Lord is a right relationship to Him. We're not flippant with God. We're not light with God. We don't just seek Him for His blessings. But neither is He a God who would terrorize or discourage His children. Neither is He a God who looks to judge at every opportunity. No, rather, He seeks that men be saved. And He seeks our good. But the right fear of God is to be rightly related to Him. So fearing God and walking in His ways goes together. Look how well Deuteronomy 10:12 puts it. And now Israel, what does the Lord God require of you? People of God, us tonight, what does the Lord require of us? But to fear the Lord our God and to what? To walk in all His ways and to love Him. To love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is a beautiful text. It's the right relationship that we ought to have to God, that we need to have to God, only possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God, He has given us His Spirit, that as we meditate on His Word and as we walk along life's way, He brings all things to remembrance. The Holy Spirit is alongside of us. He is that paraclete that comes alongside and brings to remembrance all things that the Lord Jesus has spoken in this word. What does the Lord require of us? What were these two requirements in the psalm of blessing? It is to fear Him. To fear Him is that right relationship to Him, that awe, that reverence that comes to mind when we consider the fear of the Lord. In Job 28:28, Job is a man who knew the fear of the Lord. To man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." One who fears God must have the right view of sin. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil, the Bible says. And we know of Job's life, he was upright and blameless. He shunned evil. So we need the fear of God for blessing. And we need to walk in His ways. They go together. These two are not devoid of one another. We are to walk as He walked. 1 John 2:6 says, "He who says he abides in Him," that is, who says, "I belong to Christ, I abide in Christ," ought himself also to walk just as he walked. I thank the Lord God for these Gospels. They are very practical. They are very real. I thank the Lord for the epistles that were written to the early church, because they are very practical, very real. Any issue in life, any situation in life is covered in Scripture. And praise God for that. And Jesus, to follow Him and to walk in His footsteps, that is something that we ought to long for and to desire. To follow the way of the Master. The footsteps, the trail that is set before us. We are to walk just as He walked. It's one thing to preach, but another to practice what you preach. To practice what you preach. And like we heard this morning, and like we hear from this pulpit, we need to put into practice that which is spoken, that which is heard, in a very real and practical way. Jesus calls us not only to be hearers, but to be doers of the word. Walk speaks of being a doer of the word. To walk as He walked requires a single-mindedness. Not to turn to the left, not to turn to the right. Deuteronomy 10:12 said to walk in all His ways. All His ways. Now, we see the proliferation of denominations all across this globe. And many have taken things out of context. And many have taken a part of the gospel or a part of the Bible. But the true child of God must walk in all His ways. Must take this as the full counsel of God. That is what it is. That's what is called of us. What is required of us. He who says he abides in Him, if we are in Christ, we ought to walk as He walked. And we know we fall short. We know we stumble. We know we can't do what Jesus did as He did. But we follow hard after Him. Remember, Josiah was only 8 years old. In 2 Chronicles, and it says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible says he walked in the ways of his father David. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And it says he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we read of Josiah and his life. He's one that sought the Lord, the God of David. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. That is the right fear of the Lord. That is how to walk in the ways of God. I praise God that we have the course of Scripture, right from the Old through the New Testament, and we have those footsteps of the apostles, of Christ, of the prophets, of the patriarchs. We have this lineage, and we can walk as He walked. Praise God, we have the ultimate record. There is no controversy. There is no ambiguity. It's clear. We can see the footsteps of our Lord God. And we can follow. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He calls us to follow. We have the written record. We have the Gospels. We see the pattern left by the apostles. Have a look in Acts chapter 2 with me as we turn to consider the early church and how they walked. How did they follow Christ? How did they continue? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, in those verses, 42 to 47, we see those who are baptized and are added to the number of believers, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. How do we walk as he walked? How do we follow? They continued steadfastly in doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. They were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods. They divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. There we have this record and this pattern that was left for us in the New Testament church. There was steadfast application to the doctrine of Christ in fellowship, so that they would not sway to the left and to the right. We know how much controversy there was in the early church. We know how many wolves came among the sheep, and it still is there, that way today, to distort the truth and to have men following after men. We have that today. We had that then. So there is a steadfast application to the doctrine of Christ and fellowship. We need teaching. We need preaching. We need sound Bible studies. We need to be living examples, not only hearers, but then doers of that which we have received. When a Bible study is taught, when we hear one, or when we present one, we are to embed that, to grasp that, not just to go through and tick the box, but to make it real. This is a steadfast application. This is what it means to be steadfast. It's one thing for someone to preach or to learn and just have the knowledge here, but to follow, to walk as he walked, requires implementation, living examples. Paul was not ashamed to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me, even as I imitate Christ. We need to walk in his ways. There was a sharing of bread, the Lord's table, church lunches, hospitality amongst brethren. These things brings closeness. Jesus, was he not close to his beloved disciples? Did not the beloved disciple lean upon his chest at the supper? You know, the world seeks after fellowship one with another, and they get that with entertainment or sports or whatever. They have like passions that draw them together. If we have a like passion, and Christ is our all in all, we need that steadfast application, the sharing of bread and prayer, to allow our schedule to meet with other believers in prayer, to come together to spend time alone with God, but also with the believers in prayer. To have a common purse, here it says, in our time, whilst we don't lay everything at the feet of the pastor and he distributes, we still, in principle, must give generously from the heart and openly. And as we see needs, let our good gifts be brought to God, our best given to him, to be divided, to share the purse with other believers in the midst of us, to see the furtherance of the gospel. What a privilege we have to partner with the persecuted, with missionaries, and to be generous in giving. This is walking as he walked. Generous in giving. Committing our all to God. Just as I pray this morning, Not just giving our 10%, giving our all to God. Everything being there and available for Him. Saying, Lord, how would you use this increase? How would you use what you have blessed my hands with? Being burdened for the needs around us. They met daily in the temple. This is the pattern. This is the pattern left for us. How can we walk as He walked? How can we walk as they walked? How can we imitate Christ? Imitate Paul, the apostles, and the early church. God's design for us. They met daily in the temple. They longed to be together. They met with gladness and singleness of heart. And it says they had the praise of God and favor with man. As they praised God, they had favor with man, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Their lives were full of praise. Our lives ought to be full of praise and glory to the living God. We live in a culture which is very sarcastic and very unthankful. We do. It affects us. Maybe it's in your office environment, in your place of work or school. We do live in a nation that is abundantly blessed till overflowing. We ought to be thankful. We ought to have the fear of the Lord. We ought not to go along with the sarcasm of our day. We are called to be God's lights. If we are to walk as He walked, you do not put your light under a bushel, but you put it at the point of the house where light may be flooded out to be seen. We are called to be His lights. And whether we feel it or not, in all of our failure, in all of our shortcomings, whether we sense it or not, whether we see it or not, we are His lights. His church, there is no other. We, His people, are His lights. We are called in this generation, whether we're in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or in the uttermost parts, as Tim and Leandra, in the jungle, we are called to be His lights. If the above is the pattern of our lives, if those things are real and true, if we fear the Lord and walk in His ways, let's look at those blessings that follow. Let's consider the blessings that follow. When you eat the labor of your hands, verse 2, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. When you eat the labor of your hands, there's a satisfaction there. And there is a joy in that. Rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may give something to him who has need. And there's that common purse. There's that generosity. 2 Thessalonians 3 rebukes those who were busybodies and says, we hear some who walk among you walk in a disorderly manner. Notice it says, walk among you. It's a practice. This is how they live. Not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. When we eat the labor of our hands, that is a blessing. Colossians 3:23 adds, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. This is the idea of not being a man pleaser, but a God pleaser in all that we do when we work and in whatever we may do, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's something small as giving a cup of cold water to a child in His name, the Lord sees it all. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Eat the labor of your hands. Verse 3 of the psalm of our text tonight says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. And the King James rendered it by the sides of thine house. Well, whether it's the heart, in the middle, or the sides, Matthew Henry writes, "Her place is by the sides of the house, not underfoot to be trampled on, not yet upon the housetop to domineer, but on the sides of the house, being a rib out of the side of the man. She shall be a loving wife as the vine which cleaves to the house side, an obedient wife as the vine which is pliable and grows as it is directed. She shall be fruitful as the vine, not only in children, but in the fruits of wisdom and righteousness and good management, the branches of which run over the wall." Well, that's a beautiful picture. I think that was very well written. We want marriages that are fruitful, that give glory to God, because marriages are like pillars in the house, in the church of our God. Her place is by the sides of the house. The heart is knit. This speaks of a wonderful marriage. The heart is knit. And the fruit is good. The fruit is good. There's a fruitful vine. Your children like olive plants all around about your table. The olive plant speaks of life. It's life. It's not dead. It's alive. We want our sons and daughters to be as plants grown up in their youth. Psalm 144 renders it this way, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. We want to see blessing on the family. We want to see blessing on the marriage. And to see those blessings, we must go to the source of all blessing and seek Him and fear Him and walk in all His ways. In all His ways. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, our daughters as pillars. To see, to have the fear of God in operation, to have the love of God in operation in our family. If you're a parent, we must be quick to show repentance before our children. When we stumble and we sin, they are watching us. To apologize to them when we have been a bad witness or when we have directly discouraged them. Like that text in Colossians I read out, "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." It's often hard because they do fail often. Children do fail often. But so do we. And our merciful Father pardons us as we bow humbly before Him, as we walk in His fear and in all His ways. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath." We want to see our children as olive plants around about our table. We don't want to see them discouraged. It says, don't provoke them. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You know, I failed this past week. I failed and I witnessed discouragement in one of my sons. I was quick to speak, slow to think and quick to speak, and I discouraged. And I saw this discouragement in my son and I wept bitterly that night, you know. I wept bitterly. And in the morning I quickly came to reconcile, to apologize. And praise God, He quickly restored us. And I apologize for the heat of the moment comments from that night before. Don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Have the right fear of God. Don't let them do as they please. But have the right relationship. Behold, verse 4 goes on to say, "Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, that you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life." Notice in verse 5 it says, "The Lord bless you out of Zion." That's the place of His dwelling. This is the greatest blessing, that we may know Him, that God can bless you, that you may know Him from His dwelling place. God Himself, He is the source. He is the fountain. He is the wellspring of all blessing. and praise the Lord. It says there's a blessing on Jerusalem, there's a blessing and good upon the church here as well. I believe the church of the Lord will be greatly blessed if we, men and women and children, fear the Lord and walk in His ways. These are the things we are called to do, that we may see the good of Jerusalem, that we may see the true prosperity of His church, the true spiritual, supernatural, life-giving, truthful prosperity, godliness of His church. And the strength and godliness of the church depends on the individuals and the families that make up the church. So it's paramount. It's important. It's not to be neglected. We, His people, must fear Him truly to walk even as He walked. If it's possible, even, verse 6 says that you may see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. I'm praying for my children's children already. I'm praying for the partners my children will have. I'm deeply praying for the next generation. For this is the future of the church of God. That they too might fear the Lord and to walk in His ways. Psalm 91 says, because He has set His love upon me. Verse 14, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want a long life, but I want a fruitful life above all. Oswald Chambers died at the age of 41 or 42, I can't remember. Look at the fruit of his life and how it continues. There are Puritans like Andrew Gray who died at the age of around 19 or 20, and yet you read their writings and you will be amazed at how they knew the Lord. Our times are in His hands. But if we should see our children's children, Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men and the glory of children is their father. It is one of the blessings. And I'll say it in Wayne's absence, he's seeing his children's children. Praise the Lord. He is blessed. Friends, we have the blueprint for blessings. The Lord offers us. He says there is a choice. Won't we fear Him and walk in His ways? This old world is growing corrupt. It's growing corrupt. It is growing corrupt and is decaying. But it's a time to shine brighter for the Lord Jesus. It's a time for families, individuals, the church of God to be the light, to shine for Him, that others may see, they may taste and see that the Lord is good. Has the Lord been good to you tonight? Has He been good to you this week? Can we praise Him for all His benefits to us? We have much to be thankful to our Lord for. He has blessed us out of Zion, out of His holy place. If there is something lacking in your life or in mine, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves that He may lift you up in due season. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth of Scripture. We thank You for the assurance of this truth. Our hearts can be assured before You tonight. Lord, we thank You for the promises of Your word. Lord, they can be trusted because You can be trusted. Lord, we want to be of those. I want to be of those who fear Your name, who walk in all Your ways, not looking to the left or right. Lord, help us in this generation Help the younger generation, even to the children's children, Lord. Bless your people, Father. We thank you for what you've done today in our meetings. We pray our eyes may be fixed on you, Lord. Amen.